Hey, Maria.
What, Megan?
What if I told you that today was Monday?
I would agree with you because it is.
What if I told you that it's sunny outside?
I would agree with you because it is.
What if I told you that we were about to start a podcast?
I would say, Megan, go eat some cheese. That's impossible.
Why are you telling me to go eat cheese?
Because, I mean, like, get out of here.
Is that a Wisconsiner's way of saying get out of here? Go eat cheese.
I only lived in Wisconsin briefly.
Yeah, but apparently it was contagious.
The cheese got in my blood. It runs thick.
That sounds problematic. Like, that sounds like something you should have checked out by a medical professional.
Yeah, I'm right on the track to heart disease. Oh,
I would say that if you have cheese in your blood, you probably already have it.
Yeah, you're probably, you're long gone.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Unless your heart has learned to, like, pump
cheese.
Just thick cheese blood.
Wait.
What?
Here's another question.
Oh, boy.
What do you think is the difference in consistency between
blood,
like,
and cheese?
Wait, melted Velveeta and blood.
I would say
I feel
pretty
like it's
big.
Not crazy different. I feel like
you are out of your mind.
I feel like it's not as different as it should be. Is what I'm trying to say. Hey, everybody, this is a podcast called Magic the Amateuring.
Welcome. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's show, we are going to talk all things Pro Tour Spooky Moon.
That's right. Generally, we talk magic. We talk magic for people who are just learning. We talk magic for people who played the game, left, and then came back.
We have played people.
We have played people. We
both in magic,
a lot of people.
And in real life, am I right?
You can't be a player and also dance with, like, sword arms.
These are robot arms, Megan.
Oh, but are they?
Boop, 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 boop. I'm a robot player. Boop, 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 boop.
I was going to say, for people who have left the game and then were forcibly dragged back.
Whoa, violent. But for their own good, really,
exactly.
In the end.
By spooky monsters.
Yeah, and one of the big things that happened in the Magic community over the past weekend was Pro Tour Eldritch Moon.
All the way over in Sydney, Australia,
over
next door to an opera
down.
House.
Yeah.
And a Kangaskhan Pokemons.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not see everybody freaking Facebooking about that? Everybody that was over there was like, I have to get a Kangaskhan.
I thought you misspoke, but it's called Kangaskhan because
it's something
like
that, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's like an armored kangaroo with a pouch and another tiny one.
Sweet.
Like tiny armored kangaroo in its pouch.
I want one of those for my army.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
What was the closest prior to Pro Tour Eldritch Moon that any Magic player had been while playing Magic in proximity to a koala?
Probably like immediately in the seat next to.
Nobody has ever been that close to a koala while playing Magic.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not. Listener, if you have been really close to a koala while playing Magic, please tweet at us at MTAcast and let us know, because we've been wrong about a lot of things that we were pretty sure about on the show.
Yep.
For one, that nobody's played a game of competitive Magic on a submarine.
Yep.
We were really wrong about that.
We were. I hope that we're wrong about this. If you have played Magic while sitting immediately next to a kangaroo.
It was a koala.
Sorry.
But I'll take either.
Either or.
A wallaby, a dingo. Somebody with an Australian accent. Any of those, I will take. What we're trying to say is people played in Australia. It was the biggest show in Magic, and there were plenty of wild animals,
yep.
I assume, everywhere running in Australia. This is how I imagine it in my mind, playing as the best of the best came to compete. And we're going to recap that for you this week on the show, as well as Megan's going to give us a famous story time, what has now become
That's
famous.
Right.
People love it.
We're going to catch you all up on the endings of the goings-on in Innistrad and talk about a sweet new ghost assassin.
Yeah. Ghost Host has got some opinions on that ghost assassin, by the way.
I am sure.
Oof. Yeah.
Strong words from Ghost Host. Oh, boy.
We're also going to take a peek into our mailbag and answer some listener questions. If you have any, please shoot us an email, magictheamateuring@gmail.com. If you can figure out how to spell amateuring, you're halfway there.
And we're going to bring you some flavor text theater with Spooky Moon.
I just want to point this out. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/MTAcast, where you can give us just pennies on the dollar. Not really, but I mean the value The value is strong.
Value is, yeah. Like, if we were a currency.
Yes.
The exchange rate would be in our favor.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah. Everybody who doesn't live in the U.S. Mm-hmm. is probably getting a good deal if they support us on Patreon.
Well, you really believe in the dollar's strength in the international market.
No, I'm saying the dollar is weak.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
So they'll be like supporting us for like 35 cents.
You can purchase more MTA cast for your dollars.
Yeah, for as little as a dollar an episode, you can become a member of the Magic the Amateuring family. And I'm bringing it up because we've got an extra bonus incentive for you to become a family member.
That's right. At the end of the month, we are going to be drawing a name from amongst all of our many wonderful patrons. and we are going to be shipping them the cards that we crack during Flavor Text Theater,
yes,
all during the month of August, as well as unopened boosters of Shadows over Innistrad.
Ooh, that's a pretty good prize.
Exactly. So you'll get like a nice little care package from us to you. We'll probably toss in some stickers and some bracelets.
Yeah.
While we're about it.
Some Minnesotan wild rice.
Exactly. So you can open the box and have Minnesotan wild rice spill all over you. You'll know exactly what it's like living in the plains of Minnesota.
Yeah, that's what it's like. It's like every day is a big wild rice bath, you know?
Exactly. Not only that, but your donation helps us continue the show and further improve all of our equipment and the other things that we use to create this podcast.
Yeah, we just recently were able to upgrade our computer, so we'll be able to do more frequent streaming for you, and it's 110% because you support us on patreon.com.
That's all you. We're going to start streaming on that computer. It's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be glorious. You. So thank you so much. It means a lot to us. And I really hope we can get pushed up to our next goal. We've kind of slowed down a little bit on our progress towards our goal.
Marriage.
Patreon is what brings us together. we've slowed down on our progress towards our next goal, which is really, really fun.
Man
goal.
And donation.
What?
Man and wife.
Oh,
say it. Man and wife.
So head over there and help us out because I don't want to slow down this goal. I want to hit it. It's going to be really great when we do. But thank you again to everybody who's joined, of course, over the past month. You guys are awesome. Tour Spooky Moon update.
That's right, everybody. Not only did the Pro Tour happen, somebody won it.
What?
I know, right?
There's always a chance nobody will win.
There's always the chance that there won't be a winner. That they'll narrow it down to the final two and then they'll strike them both from the venue.
Yeah.
But that did not happen.
No, it didn't. Somebody
it did
won.
Not happen.
Somebody won.
And not only somebody,
yeah,
but Lucas Blohan.
Yeah.
From the Czech Republic.
Yes. He lives in Prague. He had a super great record, which, of course, to win the Pro Tour.
Yep.
I guess I'm specifically talking about his constructed record, which is really strong.
Yeah. Well, his limited record isn't shabby. 5-1.
Yeah, exactly.
Two drafts. He dropped one match out of both drafts.
Both drafts. Green, White, Humans.
Sick.
Was the deck, if that tells you anything. Which I guess it does.
It tells you specifically that he drafted Green White Humans.
And that aggressive decks can happen. Like, okay, this is my point.
Yeah.
Hold on. My point is, a lot of people have been saying that they really like this format.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
It's
reason
great, you guys.
For
if
that,
you haven't drafted this,
what are you doing with your life?
Do you know what? Sometimes out of the blue, I'll dream of casting an instant and untapping a Thermo Alchemist.
Do you mean
I'll
where
just
you're
be
like
going
day,
about
day
my
dreaming?
Day?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll just be going about my day, and I'll be like, God, wouldn't it be nice if right now I could cast an instant and untap a Thermal Alchemist?
Oh my God, my day would be so much better.
My day would be so much better. I'm being so serious.
You know what? I just wish we could incorporate magic like that into our everyday.
Into our everyday lives.
Well, you know, virtual and augmented reality are becoming stronger forms,
yep,
of media. So it's only a matter of time, Megan, before magic cards will float before our eyes,
yep,
and untap when we do something really cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh man, I've just invented some new kind of game in my head. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Screen Rewind Women. Okay, so Draft is really great right now.
Yes.
Everyone agrees. Yes. I think that's because not only can you play a slow deck and do some really grindy, crazy things, mm-hmm. but you can also play an aggressive deck, which Lucas is proving here, going 5-1 with Green White Humans two times.
Very cool.
So that's a sign of a fantastic format when mm-hmm. both those things can be true at the same time.
And, you know, they've said it all week. They talked about it a lot over the course of the weekend, the commentators, but it's And I think that this, even the Green-White Humans echoes this, is that it's very synergy-driven.
Yes.
There are a lot of draft synergies in this format, and Green-White Humans is even one of those.
Yeah.
You know, they have that great rare Heron's Grace champion that comes in and gives all your humans +1/+1 in lifelink. They have, like, the Sigarden Priest that, for one, you can tap it and tap down any non-human creature.
I think the guy only gives +1/+1, but he himself has lifelink.
No, he gives lifelink to all the humans.
Oh, my God.
When
Fight.
He comes in. Just when he comes in.
Are you sure?
Heron's Grace Champion.
Oh,
look
better.
It up.
That's better than I...
It's so sick.
How many R's?
And Heron's? Just one.
Like the bird?
You made it look like a restaurant. Like, that looks like a restaurant name.
Heron's Grace. Oh, Heron's?
Just Heron's.
Like a department store? Oh, yeah. You're right.
Boom! Boom! When Heron's Grace Champion enters the battlefield, other humans you control get +1/+1 and gain life.
Strong card. Strong card.
And then there's, like, the other card that gives humans +1/+1 if it attacks or blocks. It gives other attacking or blocking humans +1/+1.
Oh, yeah. Hamlet Captain?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just another example of how, you know, it's still a synergistic strategy.
There's also a lot of good build around me on commons, mm-hmm. which is a sign of a healthy format. We talked last episode about Lone Rider, which is my number one in this category.
See, and he could go in a Green-White Humans.
Oh, absolutely.
Very synergistic.
He could. And cards like Thermo Alchemist, like you just mentioned, which is just a common, but it's really strong, and it's part of a very strong archetype, red-blue spells.
I love it.
So when you've got stuff like that, all those ingredients that we've talked about combined mm-hmm. make for a really cool draft environment. It was great to watch draft at the PT.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things. And it was in prime time here in the U.S.
It really was.
That was sweet.
You could start watching in the evening, like right when you wanted to settle down.
Yeah.
Settle down and just watch some
Watch
Pro
some
Tour.
Draft.
It was great.
Yeah, man. It was awesome. So, yeah, congratulations to Lucas Blohan. Mm-hmm. It was interesting that he did not think coming into the tournament that his standard deck was anything special, anything to write home about.
Yeah, he played black-white control.
This is what he said. I thought it would be solid, but we misjudged the metagame, and I don't have many good matchups, unquote.
He said, and then he won.
And then he proceeded to win the Pro Tour.
And then he won.
Yep.
So that's pretty sweet. And, you know, he played one of the breakout cards of the weekend in his deck, which was Liliana, the Last Hope.
Absolutely.
If you go and watch the finals again, which was versus Owen Turtenwald, Liliana ultimates in multiple games.
Yes.
And just makes zombies left and right. She's throwing out zombies just every which way.
Mm-hmm.
She's like the Oprah of zombies.
You get a zombie.
You get a zombie.
Yeah, it's so true. And so flavorful, because in the last round, Lucas was playing this white-black control deck featuring Liliana.
And Gideon.
And Gideon.
No, I was going to say Abnixilis, but he's not part of the Gatewatch. He really tried to murder them pretty hard.
And he was playing versus Owen Turtenwald, who also locked up Player of the Year, by the way, this weekend.
Yeah, congrats to him.
And he was playing a Emrakul deck. So how much more flavorful do you get than the fight that is around the story, which is Liliana kind of versus Emrakul?
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't.
It's pretty sick. And in the quarterfinals, you got to see Luis Scott Vargas beat Reed Duke with Tamiyo versus an Emrakul.
Yeah.
It was great. So many flavorful battles happening.
I love when that happens.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So let's take a look at Lucas's winning deck here. Megan, you played Black-White Control a few months ago at GP Minneapolis. Is this similar in any way?
Yes, it's similar in a lot of ways. Most notably, it's got the four Languish. and it has, it's playing a lot of removal. It's playing Anguished Unmakings, it's playing Grasp of Darknesses, it's playing Ultimate Price, and then it's backing that up with a lot of Planeswalkers. What this deck has that the original, or the slightly older black-white control deck didn't have, yeah, is it leans a little bit more heavily on main deck creatures. That deck didn't really have a lot of main deck creatures going on. This one has a full 3 Kalitas, 3 Archangel Avacyn, and 1 Linvala the Preserver.
I mean, when you want to play a good creature, how about you play one of those three?
Those are all really sick cards.
Yeah.
That have happened in the last 2 sets. Or the last 3 sets, I guess.
Every card in this deck is
just bonkers good.
Really good.
Just bonkers.
We talked about a legendary deck a couple weeks ago.
That black white legendary.
Yeah,
one
played in the SCG Open. Which is sort of like this, but not entirely. I mean, there's no Thalia's Lancers in this deck.
This is
like that.
Less creature based, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah, because that one even had like some Gisellas, some Brunas. Gisella, I think, very in a way, kind of notably absent from this.
No, I know. I was hoping, fingers and toes were crossed, for a mono white deck featuring Gisella. I was sad to find out that there was no such thing.
I'm sorry.
No Thalia was present either. That's a card that's, I mean, it's very good. Where was she? Was she busy washing her hair?
I mean, she's got she has to do all those Pantene Pro-V commercials.
Yeah, I mean,
with hair like that. So she's pretty busy. Yeah. She's pretty busy with
most of these decks this weekend, which we'll get into them a little bit more, were kind of more control or mid-range based.
Yeah, very mid-range the whole tournament. Even Bant Company, which is a little bit more tempo geared, but it's not crazy aggro the way that like a white weenie or a mono red deck is.
Right. Yeah, no mono red, which is something we like generally see in Pro Tour.
Yeah, you see him a lot of the time because a lot of the time it's a little bit more clear like where the really good red deck is. It's going to have all of the cheapest burn spells and all of the cheapest red creatures.
There was a Goggles decks floating around, but I was expecting, I was kind of half thinking that Mirrorwing Dragon might show up.
Yeah.
No. But we did see plenty of other fun things, including Emrakul herself in several different iterations.
So many Emrakuls. It was so great. Like, I want someone to make a little chart of just in the feature match area, all of the times someone took someone else's turn.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot. There were a lot of people's turns taken by other people.
How many of your turns were stolen this weekend?
Yeah, right? Like, that would even just be exciting to watch. Like, how many turns did you get taken?
Here, I've got a new idea for a miniseries for you.
Okay.
On Lifetime. Betty was a single woman. She thought she had it all until one day her turn was taken. Starring Liam Neeson, who will come to take back her taken turn in Taken.
Taken turns.
Liam's really fallen down.
Liam Neeson in Taken Turns.
Because that's what he does if anybody takes anything.
I get it. I know. I have seen the first Taken. Thank you.
Who hasn't?
If I've seen it, everybody has.
Literally everybody.
It's really how it goes.
We also got to see a pretty sweet blue-black zombies deck.
Yeah.
Shambling around as well.
Yeah, it really was.
Is there anything else you want to say about this white-black deck? I mean, let's just talk about why it's good.
I'll just be interested to see where it lands going forward.
Yeah, I will too. It seems great.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it dealt with Owen's deck very handily, but at the same time, like, Owen's deck didn't seem to kind of show up for that top,
no,
for that
didn't.
Finals match. He got flooded pretty heavily in the first 2 games and then got, like, you know, got shorted on lands pretty hard in the 3rd game.
Yeah.
And the commentators kept saying that, like, one of the problems with this deck is that it's bad against Emrakul. But at the same time, like, if you manage to ultimate that Liliana, if they don't get Emrakul out fast enough to mess with that Liliana, and she goes ultimate, those zombies add up.
Like, those zombies don't care.
And there's nothing that you, if you have an emblem and your turn gets taken, it doesn't matter. Those zombies still happen.
Yeah, you can Kozilek's Return those zombies all you want. They're just going to keep coming back.
They just keep shambling back. So I'll be super interested to see where this deck ends up.
Gideon in this deck out of the sideboard, by the way, is incredibly strong against Emrakul as well. Because they really don't have a way to deal with it.
Just delivers a beating. Like, so fast. so quickly.
So this deck to me seems super strong, and I think it has staying power. I was talking to Megan, and I was like, I want to know what deck beats this deck, kind of in a way.
I mean, I believe that some of the other Emrakul decks could. Okay. The ones that are a little bit more, like maybe the green-black based ones that are a little bit more able to handle an early Liliana with Planeswalker removal.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of these Emrakul decks, shall we?
That's right.
Let's start with Reed Duke, King of the Hair. And pretty good at Magic, too. Playing a red-green ramp deck version.
Yeah.
So he's playing Vessel of Nascency, which a lot of these decks are, to kind of get different card types into the graveyard, cast Emrakul earlier.
Some ramp, and then some big creatures to also complement that Emrakul. So it's got some Dragon Lord Atarkas, some World Breakers, some Ulvenwald Hydras, and then stuff like Nissa's Pilgrimage to ramp out those lands.
Ishkana Graf Widow notably showing up at the Pro Tour, which people are wondering about. They're like, oh, I wonder if this Legendary Spider is going to be a thing other than in Commander.
It really was.
It sure is.
So this deck took the approach of like, do you know what? If people are playing Emrakul, I want to be the person to play Emrakul first.
Yeah.
Which is a good plan. If everybody's, if you think of everybody's going to be playing this giant Eldrazi and what you need to do is be the first person to play it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a solid plan.
Two Hedron Crawlers, notably, really brings that point home.
Yeah. And interestingly, so a surprise card that made a huge splash this weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Grapple with the Past.
This card, it was kind of like the all-star of the Pro Tour in a way. I mean, like Emrakul, sure. Liliana, sure. Grapple with the Past.
I mean, I am really grappling with this card's popularity at the Pro Tour.
I'm going to give that a D minus.
Yep, that's fair. That's super fair. It is an instant for one and a green. And you put the top three cards of your library into your graveyard, and then you can return either a creature or a land card from your graveyard to your hand. Yeah. Notably, not just one that you just milled, any creature or land card in your graveyard.
Which is super important, because this deck puts a lot of cards into the graveyard.
Yeah, and this card is so nice because it's very flexible, right? If you cast it on turn two, you're probably going to hit at least a land that you're going to want to put into your hand. And then if you play it later on in the game, then you can get so many. You have so many options.
Yeah.
It's a veritable cornucopia.
cornucopia
of card selection.
Yeah, just a card that seems so innocent.
So many different decks.
On face value.
All of these Emrakul decks, because all of these Emrakul decks had green in them in some way.
Yeah.
Whether it was Teemerge.
Teemerge.
Which is what you have to call it.
You do. If you call it Teemerge, Emerge, I don't
know. Are you wasting all of our time?
I'm just
You're
like
literally
80 years
wasting
older.
Our time by putting that extra word in the middle.
Ugh.
And we're upset with you. Or like a green black version.
Right.
Or like a green black delirium, something like that.
So a green black version.
Yas.
Yas. Is the version that Sam Pardee was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Party time. But he was also playing Liliana in this deck.
Yes.
As well as four Grim Flayers, which I think is kind of.
Which I think people expected to were sort of like it did not make the splash that they thought it might, considering how many green black delirium decks there were.
Yeah, that's true. Den Protector making a comeback. I guess don't call it a comeback because she never went away, but she's here. Three tireless trackers, two Nissas, only one Emrakul, because sometimes I guess you only need one. Which I think is kind of a little wrong because people did have ways to exile, but
Well, interestingly, do you know what I loved seeing? Did you see that? And this is only in the blue versions, like the Teemerge deck.
Yeah.
Had from its sideboard Coax from the Blind Eternities.
Yes.
And then if they, something like Infinite Obliteration or Transgress the Mind and take away your Emrakul and exile it, you then Coax from the Blind Eternities and you're just like, I'll just go fetch that out of exile.
Excuse me, let me just go get it.
Excuse me.
This is mine. Thank you.
So pretty sweet way to maneuver your way around that.
So let's take a little peek-see at Owen's version before we get on to Bant Company, which Megan and
which
I
hoped we're not going to linger long on because
died a swift death, but it was not dead, turns out. Was Andrew Brown also playing Teemerge?
What was he playing?
No.
Interesting. I don't know what I would... Yeah, I would call this vaguely Teemerge-ish. Teemerge-ish, but it's not topping it off with Emrakul.
No, it's just playing like Elder Deep Fiend.
It has a little bit of a lower curve, interestingly.
Wretched Griff.
Shapers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Elder Deep Fiend, another all-star of the weekend for sure. So here's a look at Owen's version of Emrah Cool, which is playing Three Pilgrim's Eye, which I think is just, like, so smart.
It's so cool. When I saw that card cast, I was like, that actually makes, like, so much sense.
Because it's an artifact creature, so it gives you two creature types, or two card types already, going into your graveyard. Yeah,
for Delirium.
Gives you a land, which you want, because you want to cast Emrah Cool. And you have a little flyer dude.
And if you, because this emerge, deck is also, yeah, casting Elder Deep Fiends.
Yeah.
You've got a three drop that you can sacrifice, and perfect, you don't feel bad about it.
This is great. This card is, I think, just key to how well this deck is built.
Yeah.
It's also got four Gnarlwood Dryads in it, which plays well with the Delirium theme.
Yes.
One Wretched Griff, because you sometimes just need a bird to draw you a card. Mm-hmm. And three Elder Deep Friends to tap down the opponent's team and swing in maybe with, who knows, Emrah Cool herself, because there's three in this version.
Yeah. And also some Ishkanas, which we had mentioned.
Yep, two Ishkanas.
Pretty cool. Pretty darn
one Chandra.
Cool. So you're going to be able to get your hands on these sick decks on the Magic the Gathering online
Gauntlet.
Pro Tour Gauntlet. That will start this Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's everything that I believe gets 24 points plus.
Yeah.
It's either 24 or 21.
They make a decision on which ones they're going to have available. Yeah. But it's most of the ones that you want to play with.
Exactly. It's everything that had a pretty respectable record at the Pro Tour. And you jump in the queue and then you just get randomly assigned one of these decks.
It's so cool.
And you play three rounds with it. And it's a lot of fun. So if you're sort of like, oh, these sound cool, but I don't know what to invest in yet. I don't know what's good. I don't know what I'm going to enjoy or will suit my play style. Hop in there and try it out.
Jump on in. The water's fine.
You're going to have a real good time. Sick beats.
Sick beats.
Sick beats.
No one say Magic the Amateur and doesn't have the sickest beats in all of Magic.
We're so cool. And then LSV, everybody's hero, was also everybody's villain.
Yeah, he was.
Playing Band Company, Why Louise Why.
Because, like,
I think that sums it up.
Louise can play any deck.
Oh, boy.
I've come to believe.
Well, it's true. There are definitely some decks that I've watched him, like I've watched like the Channel Fireball draft decks.
Yeah.
And he drafts something and I'm like, how does this win?
He just makes it win.
And I'm just like, yep, all right. I don't understand. Like, I don't know that I personally know how to play Magic any better right now.
But
I have a deeper respect for what is possible.
You know, of course, Band Company's biggest update, Spell Queller, Selfless Spirit.
God, Spell Queller. Because that deck needed anything more, anything else disgusting.
Barf.
What a goddamn card.
Sure is.
Like,
sure
and I is. Like countering things, okay?
And you hate it?
And I think this card don't is like disgusting.
We have That's a bone true. To pick. It's That's everywhere.
True. Well, Spell Queller is real gross against, like, a Languish deck, you know?
Oh, absolutely. That's Jesus. A great point. That's a great point.
H.
So, Megan, I want to ask you this.
You can.
So, Emrah Cool showed up big time to the Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. Something we see happen on the Pro Tour occasionally/often is that a bunch of decks will come to the party, and they'll be good, and they'll destroy, because nobody knows quite what the metagame is going to be, and they want a big splashy deck that people aren't going to be ready for.
Yeah.
After the PT, we see the deck just kind of fall by the wayside and not happen.
Yeah, like one good example is the Seasons Pass deck that John Finkel played into the top eight.
Yeah, John Finkel, a.k.a. very good Magic player, could probably also like LSV play anything. I think that's his nickname. Very good Magic player. Definitely not Johnny Magic. Like, after the PT, everyone was kind of like, we can all agree that this deck is just bad, right?
Yeah. I think it's so interesting. And one thing that I've come to appreciate is, like, how much the Pro Tour is kind of its own tiny metagame.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Because it's, like, 400 people big.
Yeah.
And you can't judge how the whole format's going to fall out from that.
Right.
Some stuff you're barely going to freaking see again.
Yeah.
And then some stuff, usually, like, you'll rarely ever see, I think. Green-White Tokens was kind of an exception.
Yeah.
Where it stayed pretty constant throughout the next season as being basically one of the best, if not the best deck. And usually I feel like there's at least some pretty significant tweaks. The format, this is basically like the starting point, right?
Right.
This is the gun firing to the air, and all of these racers are racing, and these are the eight who came out first in this one weekend. But the track is months long. This metaphor is getting away from me.
There are ultra runners. They exist. Yes,
exactly.
So the reason I bring this up is because Emrakul, while being a beating, takes a lot of commitment to cast.
Yeah.
I mean, your deck has to go all in, which you can see these decks do playing cards like Grapple with a Pass.
Look, you don't get to 13 by being a commitment phobe.
So true. And think about it. Sometimes when it's happening, it's the only creature. And that's why Blighted Fen in Black White Control was so strong.
Yeah.
I mean, sacrifice your Emrakul.
Yeah, that's very true.
If you lose it, like, you've lost so much that you've just, all your eggs are in the Emrakul basket.
Yeah, they are.
And is that safe moving forward?
You know, I don't know. I think one card that we'll continue to see is that Grapple with the Past.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to Elder Deep Friend.
Yeah, Elder Deep Friend seems very strong.
And you know, I would be very surprised if we didn't continue to see Emrakul.
Man, where's my white weenies?
I
don't
know if it's going to be super dominant, but I would be really surprised if we didn't see it.
Megan, where's my white weenies?
You know.
I'm sorry, everybody. I'm really sorry. Where's my mono white humans? Where's my mono white humans?
At a Trump rally.
Actually, what I wanted.
Oh, God.
What I was thinking about was when you said, like, you don't know what the metagame is coming into the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's secret spies, like people you can pay money, like, hey, like you can Slugworth them. And you're like, hey, if you're on Team X, I'm on Team Y, I'll pay you 50 cold American dollars to spy and tell me what your team is playing.
Wouldn't you probably just like swap info instead? Like the best thing that you could probably pay them with is other info.
Yeah, that's true.
And then at that point you get into then you're really entering into a whole espionage sub game.
I know. That's what I'm wondering. Does it exist?
I don't know.
That's like really people sneaking around at night.
Sure. I'm sure it does.
Excellent.
Yeah, they have like drop spots. Yeah. They have like prearranged drop spots.
Put your deck list in the trash can at 34th and Grant. Oh, brilliant. So not only did the Pro Tour happen and the winner happen. What am I trying to say? The Hall of Fame also happened.
The Hall of Fame was announced. The Hall of Fame elect, because they won't be inducted until PT Kaladesh in October.
And that's important because sometimes stuff happens and people get booted out, which has happened before.
Which has happened before, although it doesn't seem likely with that.
No. So the people who got elected, who are Hall of Fame elect, we've got Owen Turtenwald.
Yep.
The kid.
Yep.
I don't know if he's still a kid or if not, he's now the man.
I don't think you can nickname someone that.
Your favorite movie is She's the Man.
I know. Oh, that's a great movie, you guys. I was so happy about all the people who, after we had that conversation, were like, that movie is great. Oh, it's so good.
Validation.
It really is. It just makes me happy that other people know about it. All I really want is for everybody to see that movie.
Everybody in the world.
Yeah, if I was in a Miss USA pageant... And they were like, what's your number one wish? And I'd be like, for everyone in the world to see She's the Man.
And then it's like standing over, like slow clap.
Standing ovation.
Yu Watanabe was the other inductee to the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to both of them.
From what I saw, 90% of people voted for him.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is, if you look at his list of accomplishments, is like not even surprising. It's like, why didn't 100% of people vote for him?
Megan and I actually had Pro Tour Hall of Fame votes.
Yes.
This time around was the first time, which is pretty exciting. It's a really big honor.
Yeah.
And I know that I voted for Yuya. So
I certainly did.
So yeah.
But I'm not going to disclose my whole ballot.
No, me neither.
You just have to guess.
But yeah, we voted for him and we're very happy that he's in. And it's a great Hall of Fame class this year. Really very exciting. Cool. So yeah, Player of the Year locked up by Owen, Hall of Fame.
Which is crazy because if you think about it, like Seth Manfield won.
Yes. Yeah. Seth Manfield did almost everything you can do.
You only get to count like your top five or six GP finishes.
Yep.
Which for him is just like all, I'm sure, like first place. first. But those pro tours, because they're the point totals are so much higher, play a big role. Nuts. And Owen, two different top eights this season.
That's crazy.
Really impressive.
How, like, what would you have to do to knock Seth out of that spot? It's insane.
Well, you have to do, you have to top eight two PTs. Which, so, he top eighted two.
Yep.
Andrew Brown top eighted two. A member of East West Bowl.
Yep.
And an excellent up-and-coming player. Didn't Yuya top eighted two? I'm pretty sure.
Seems like something he would do.
And then LSV top eighted three consecutive pro tours.
We are calling him LS3 now.
Yes, everybody is calling him LS3. Apparently hasn't been done in something like 18 years.
Yeah, 18
Only
years.
Only twice before.
I think that's absolutely insane, especially since he was having kind of a slump in his career before he got that first top eight in the string of three.
Yeah.
For LSV, kind of, a slump.
Yes. What we would call an like for him.
Yeah.
For the rest of us, like a magnificent regular career.
For the rest of us, the best year of our lives.
Yeah, like a peak for anybody else. A slump for him.
Yeah. So to see him get three in a row is kind of unheard of, but... not unsurprising, whenever I watch LSV play, I'm consistently insanely impressed. I kind of can't put it into words. I mentioned it the last time, like I was at the Pro Tour, I was watching him and everything, and I could just tell that his sense of the game and absolutely everything that has happened or could happen was available to him. And just seeing that was like his brain was like the Matrix.
He's like an oracle of magic.
Yes. And that's what I mean. He's like in the little sloopy pond and he's seeing the future.
Yeah. And the past.
And the past.
And the present.
All of that.
All of it at once.
And there is this interesting interview that it was kind of quick that BBD did with him about one of his drafts. He said he drafted two. Wait. What did I say?
BDM,
sorry, yeah. BDM, that would be weird. BDM did with him about one of his drafts.
Although BBD did lock up the Grand Prix Master.
Yes.
Title.
Oh, there's too many initials. LSV, alphabet soup. So he did an interview and he's like, I had a very mediocre draft deck and the only way I could have won is if everything went wrong for my opponent for five turns and everything went exactly correct for me for five turns. And he noticed that five turns back, maybe even a little bit more.
Yeah.
He knew what exactly needed to happen with him and he had to play to those five different outs.
Yeah.
Five different events happening so that he would have an out. And he won. That was the most mind-blowing interview I've ever heard because he laid out exactly what he would have had to do to win.
Yeah.
It was insane. I mean, it just proved to me that, like, LSV is, like, one of the greatest players of all time, which is, like, obviously everybody knows that, but it just keeps getting proved to me more and more that he is not of this world. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just had to get that off my chest. You understand.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up the PT.
Yeah.
All right.
Story time with Megan.
That's right, everybody. So it's been a little while, so we have a lot of updates.
Oh, I'm so excited.
About what is going down in Innistrad town.
Yeah, so Megan's going to give us the lore rundown. Megan, what's up?
Okay, so the last time that we left, Soren and Olivia Valdarin were like, oh man, Nahiri screwed everything real hard. We're going to go get her.
Yeah.
And Liliana was like, oh, fine. I'm going to go solve everybody's problems. But begrudgingly, but very begrudgingly. And so there was a giant fight between like Soren and Olivia and all of their vamps and Nahiri. And then Soren like almost kills Nahiri.
Yeah.
And then Nahiri basically puts him in like a giant stone bear trap, like bear claw snapper trap.
Ooh.
Like through his guts and everything. But he didn't die because he's like a vampire or whatever. And a planeswalker, he's just literally encased in, like, this, like, bear trap stone cocoon for forever.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that sick?
Ew.
So apparently, like, you have to focus really hard to planeswalk, and it, because it makes him...
I don't know. Is that all it takes?
You can't just fucking do it, is what I'm saying, right? You can't just snap your fingers and be gone.
Wait, hold on. Is it the same face you make, kind of like when you're focusing to planeswalk, when you have to make a really big poop?
I mean, do you have to focus to poop?
I'm actually thinking of cats. When they poop, they make their poop face.
I don't watch cats poop.
That's, Megan, you're gonna get a cat and soon you'll understand.
I'm not gonna watch it poop. I feel like that's invading its privacy.
You'll watch it poop.
Anyways, so Soren, so she puts him in like this basically giant stone bear claw trap, and it's all up in his inside, so he's in too much pain to ever like planeswalk away. Because he can't focus because it hurts so bad.
Oh.
Isn't that sick? It's
brutal.
And like, it's like on this like big mountain where the manor once was.
Yes.
And it's like overlooking Thraben, which Emrakul is in the middle of just like beasting hard. And so she's just like, and you can just stay here and watch your world get fucked.
Peace, bro.
Peace. And then she planeswalks away. And
where did
just
she
like,
go?
Slow clap.
We don't
Nobody
know.
Nobody knows. She just planeswalks away. So number one lesson is just like, don't F with a lithomancer.
Oh yeah.
There's a real big fight that happens before that, you know, they're like fighting back and forth and she's, you know, manipulating stone. He's doing vampire and dark magic. And then
did we talk about him destroying Avacyn?
Yeah, we talked about
okay.
that, I think.
All right.
Anyways, he jumped through a window to do that in case we didn't. They were, like, in a cathedral, and Avacyn was about to kill Jason Tamio.
Oh, shit.
And then Soren just, like, busts in through a fucking stained glass window, like, jumps through it and lands on the floor. And then he and Avacyn fight. And then he's like, oh, if Avacyn can't understand anymore that, like, I'm her maker and that, like, she needs to do good for the plane, then I have to destroy her so he, like, unmakes her or whatever.
Oof. This is an Carmina Burana song moment in the movie.
It's amazing. Okay, so it's great. And then, so anyways, Nahiri, giant stone bear.
Yeah,
trap.
Yeah, yeah.
Planes walks away and is like, peace out, motherfucker. Liliana gets all these zombies. Jace goes and gets the Gatewatch from Zendikar. He gets Gideon and Chandra and Nyssa.
Yeah.
And is like, hey, come help. Emrakul's on Innistrad. It's real bad. So they go into Thraben. And also Thalia leads like the last of like the Order of Saint Trafton there too. And they're all fighting and the vampires are all fighting. So they're all making their way into Thraben, like fighting all of Emrakul's like
sloopy
armed monstrosities.
Yeah.
But they're having a real bad time.
Well, yeah.
Right. And then the planeswalkers are all like fighting, but then they're just like, they're just screwed. They're overwhelmed. They're about to all bite it.
Yeah.
And then Liliana comes in with her horde of zombies.
Where's Tamio right now?
Where was Tamio?
She was fighting too, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Or did she just come in
later?
The end?
No, I think she was also with them, I think. I don't remember. She's there at the end. That's what
okay.
matters. Anyways, and then, so they're all fighting, but then Emrakul herself is there.
Yeah.
It's still like it's an edge in a battle. The zombies are not like winning or anything. They're just like holding them back, essentially.
Yeah, Liliana like raised some dead.
Like a lot of dead.
Yeah.
A lot of dead. But there's still not enough to like overcome Emrakul. So they all go into Emrakul like attacks them specifically, and they're all like Jace like protects them with like a big mind castle situation essentially. And then he's wandering through like some weird fucked up like dream world of his own. So it's this whole like weird dream sequence where Liliana is still there and is trying to fight Emrakul, but she's losing and dying. And then Jace is like wandering through seeing all of these weird mind prisons that he accidentally put his friends into.
Oh man.
Like Gideon is having to face Erebos, and Erebos is like killing all of Gideon's friends around him while Gideon won't tell Erebos
Sick.
What he wants. And then what's happening to Nyssa? Nyssa's just being like eaten by the ground or something fucking weird like that.
I was gonna say some trees are crying.
Yeah, she's like having like, I don't know, like vines and shit or something like that. What is happening to, and then Chandra is, it's like all of their,
so they're
like,
all hallucinating hard.
Yeah,
they're,
and it's all like
balls.
their worst nightmares. Chandra, I think, is like back on Kaladesh and is like
watching her parents die in
like
her arms.
Accidentally like setting everything on fire, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's burning the shit out of everything.
Chandra's kind of like Batman.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, and then Jace comes to this like last room that reminds him of his own place on Ravnica, and like some weird fucked up angel is there and is like, let's play a game of chess. And Jace is like, okay, if I win, like you have to go away, and then if you win, whatever.
This sounds like how I worked my way into my last college credit.
So anyways, they sit down and play the game of chess. Or wait, before that, the angel takes out a scroll and is writing on the scroll, right? The angel's, like, writing all this stuff on the scroll. And then they play a game of chess. And the angel, Jace feels like, Jace beats the angel, but he kind of feels like maybe the angel deliberately lost. And the angel's like, fine, all of this is done. And they all come back to the present, and then they're like, and then everybody wakes back up in the courtyard, right? And Emrakul's still there. And then...
How long have we been asleep?
Yeah. And then... We're kind of like jumping around. I'm like very like I'm abbreviating this.
Okay.
But then Tamio comes along and is like, the Hell Vault held all of these demons, and we can put the moon is where the Hell Vault came from, so we can put Emrakul in the moon. But we have to channel all this power. And Nissa is like, I can get some from Innistrad, but the land is so wasted, because it's just been like partying too hard. By which I mean Emrakul has been effing with it so hard.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Nissa is like pulling power and then putting like, you know, the symbol on the moon to like draw Emrakul towards that. And Tamio starts reading one of her first scrolls, right? And she had these three ironbound scrolls that she's like never supposed to read. And then she doesn't describe it until later, but what happens in the middle is like they're about to fail. They don't have enough power. And then all of a sudden, Jace looks over and Tamio is reading one of the ironbound scrolls. She's taken off the iron bands and is reading this scroll spell that she's not supposed to read. Oh. And she said she never would. And Emrakul gets like folded into the moon, essentially. And
like
then,
an origami?
Yes. Basically.
Oh.
Just like ticked in there. Anyways, and then afterwards, Jace and Tamio are hanging out, and Tamio's like, Emrakul took over my body and pulled out that second scroll, and it wasn't the scroll that I knew it to be. And Jace remembers the angel writing on the scroll back in his weird fucked up mind dungeon. And so it turns out that Emrakul trapped herself in the moon. Because the angel says all of this weird stuff about, like, they're not ready for me yet. This wasn't how it was supposed to be. And well, they're writing on the scroll.
Yeah.
And so at the end, Tamio is like, that spell wasn't mine. That spell was rewritten by whatever, like, weird entity Emrakul is. And Emrakul basically helped trap herself for now.
Are you telling me that Emrakul was the angel?
Yeah, in Jace's weird dream. The angel was kind of like a fucked up manifestation of Emrakul.
Oh.
In Jace's dream. And in Jace's, like, weird dream prison, rewrote Tamio's scroll.
You know what would be cool?
And then Tamio pulled it out when she was Emrakul-possessed and read the scroll, which helped imprison Emrakul, but Emrakul had written the spell that helped imprison her.
Do you think Emrakul knew that she was imprisoning herself because she knew that scroll?
Yes. And then, so their idea is that it's like Emrakul was sort of like, you know, not right now. Like, obviously this wasn't the right time or place.
Yeah.
So for now, I'll imprison myself.
Don't you think it's kind of cool that what if Emrakul used to just be like an angel and then something terrible happened?
Well, that's what I think. Oh, I know what the angel was. The angel was specifically Emeria from Zendikar. You know how there were the three like deities that were manifestations of the Eldrazi?
Yeah.
And Emeria was this giant angel, like with a giant hood and these huge wings. And that's the angel that Jace saw in his dream, was Emeria specifically.
So are we saying Emrakul was Emeria?
Yeah, because that's always how it was, right? These Zendikar deities were always
weird, fucked up
manifestations of the Eldrazi's.
Oh, man.
So Jace met with Emeria in his dream, and Emeria rewrote the scroll.
That's craziness.
Isn't it? And then Liliana joined the Gatewatch.
It's kind of like when you know you're getting too out of control, and you give your friend the keys to your car.
Exactly. But you know how to get those keys back someday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the update from Innistrad.
Thank you, Megan. That was spicy.
Oh, and then over on Fiora, which is where Conspiracy 2 is set, we've been introduced to a new planeswalker.
Yes.
Kaya, the ghost assassin.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're really sorry, Ghost. Let's just cover your ears. Cover your ears. Ghost Assassin is awesome. In her little introduction story, some like really snooty noble hires her to get rid of the ghost of his mom from this property that he was waiting to inherit from her. And she goes, and she can, like, change into a ghost and back to human.
Sweet.
It's so cool. And then she starts fighting this ghost, and then she realizes that the son murdered his mom. So she leads the son back there saying, like, oh, yeah, I got rid of the ghost. But then really she just lets the ghost kill her son.
Oh, sick.
She's baller.
Yeah, Kaya's awesome. Conspiracy 2 coming out very soon, the same weekend as Worlds this month on the 28th. So get to your local game store and play some Conspiracy Draft, man, if you like that multiplayer action. Mm-hmm. We'll have a preview card for you coming up in a little bit, not too long, not on this episode, but follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. And you
get
can see it
sweet preview action
before anybody else. Mailbag. So this one specifically asking a question, which we almost just addressed. It's from Gavin. Is the ghost host, worried now that Kaya the ghost assassin has made her presence known?
For one, she is a ghost assassin. So someone would have to take out a hit on ghost host.
Yeah.
Which we don't understand why anybody would do that. But obviously, ghost host is worried as any of us would be.
Yep. Yeah, we don't want to speak for ghost hosts, but we just did. So this question is from Merlin, which, is that your real name? Because it's awesome. I was just listening to the show about your first EMN draft, and I thought of the following question. If you would get the chance to pose in the art of an existing Magic card, which would it be? It can also be as an additional figure within that card.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. Wow. That's a good question.
Great question. I feel like I know my answer.
Yeah.
What's the one from Cube? Hermit Druid? That makes all the scroll tokens?
Heritage Druid?
No, you know, right? Is that it?
What is it? Deranged Hermit.
Deranged Hermit.
Deranged Hermit.
I want to be in Deranged Hermit, and I want to be the Deranged Hermit. Because I want to be surrounded by squirrels. It's my life dream. What's wrong with that?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah.
I see it.
Just me like there, and I've just got all the squirrels on me.
Yeah.
It would be so great. Megan, do you want to be riding the Sphinx in Sphinx's Revolution?
Yep, that's it. That's all I want. I just want to be riding that Sphinx. Or I just want to be that Sphinx.
Like your little Sphinx head.
I'm a little Sphinx. Hello. I'm a Sphinx.
I wonder if anybody will draw us these things. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Okay, this question comes from Jim. How can someone look at a card the first time and say right away that it would be good in standard but won't see much limited play, or if it's good for any particular format but not for another? What makes a card good in limited but not in standard and the other way around? What a great question, Jim.
Yeah. What you'll usually see in cards for cards that are good in limited but not as good in standard is usually going to have to do with their mana cost.
Yep.
Like you mentioned Mirror Winged Dragon earlier.
Yeah.
Huge bomb in standard. Just crazy. 4/5 dragon for 5.
You mean limited.
I mean in limited, thank you. But 5 mana is just a lot. Unless you're in a dedicated ramp deck. And if you're in ramp, then you just have way crazier and better things to do.
So a card like Transgress the Mind is a pretty good example of a card that's good in standard, not in limited, because it's doing something very specific.
Yeah.
It's better when you know or can assume what sort of cards your opponent is going to have in their hand that you want to take away with something like Transgress the Mind.
Or you limited, know what their game plan is and you're trying to disrupt it.
To break up their game plan. Whereas if you cast it in limited, your opponent could really have anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll hit and sometimes it will just be kind of a waste of a card on your account.
Although I would still play it in sealed. I wouldn't necessarily play it in draft probably, but I'd play it in sealed.
Why is that?
Transgress the Mind?
Yeah.
Oh, because sealed is a little bit more about that higher end. And
right.
So you're usually going to hit something that's better than the 2 mana you spent on it.
Exactly. And then there's a card like, for instance, Hallowed Moonlight, which we've seen as part of these decks.
Yeah, in a lot of black-white control decks, which prevents creatures or tokens if they weren't cast from entering the battlefield.
Right.
So it, you know, something like Collected Company, it's just effed because you're not casting those cards. Or Hangerback Walker, for instance. And when it dies, it prevents those tokens from coming into play.
Or something like Secure the Waste, so soldiers won't be coming in.
But it's so narrow.
So narrow. You would never, in draft or sealed, like, this is not a card you would play just because the chance you would use it to do something pretty relevant or fairly slim.
Exactly. And that's really what it comes down to, is how relevant is it. A card like Treasure Cruise is an interesting example for... you know, older formats like Modern or Legacy or even Vintage. And in those cases, it's because, you know, in that case, it had Delve. And you were just, you know, in those formats, you're putting so many spells into your graveyard so quickly.
Yes.
And you just want to restock your hand. and you're probably going to be casting it for incredibly cheap.
Yeah, because you're playing a lot of really good cards
that in those also older formats, which are also super very cheap.
Yeah. And they've gotten wiser over the years that don't make really good cards really cheap, probably. Yeah. Or else it's going to be bad news.
Exactly.
So that's why it works there. And then let's think of a card like Spell Queller, which, to be fair, is good in limited.
It's so good
standard.
In limited.
But in limited, it's a little weaker because it is a gold card, meaning two different colors of mana to cast it. So you can't pick it. Well, you can if you want to pick it early and try and build it around.
I would first pick a Spell Queller.
But you're taking on a risk that those colors are open, both of them, which is more risky than taking a monocolored card. Whereas in standard, you can just build your deck and put it in there and you know it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Although that one's a little bit more about your draft strategy, right? And less about, like, good and limited versus good and standard. Because it's very good in both formats.
Yeah.
Just as
yeah.
a castable card.
Better in the early game, of course. But in standard, I think it retains its value a little bit more throughout the course of the game as well. Because, of the kind of spells that are being cast. In general, to have a creature be good in standard, it needs to be really good. Mm-hmm. And if it's not really good, it needs to work very well in the strategy that you're trying to pull together with your deck. So we mentioned Pilgrim's Eye earlier in the show. In the Emrakul deck, makes a lot of sense for the reasons we enumerated. And in draft, it's fine, but it's not like a key part of your strategy, probably. It's not a linchpin. Mm-hmm. We should add on to this.
Although I would take Pilgrim's Eye very highly in draft. I did take it very highly in draft.
And sealed, it's pretty strong to help fix your mana.
You just want to be hitting those land drops, baby.
Nobody knows for sure which cards are going to be good in standard. Like, we could pretty say confidently that Spell Queller would, because Bant Company was already a deck that existed.
Yeah, and it slotted very nicely into it.
But we also thought perhaps Gisela would show up in a deck.
And she didn't. So far. Again, it's only the first 100 meters of a mile.
Yeah. How many meters are in a mile?
A lot.
That is correct. If you have a question for us, please send us an email, magicamaturing@gmail.com. What were you?
1600.
Is that true? I feel like that's not right. I feel like it's 3-something.
Nope, I'm pretty sure I'm correct.
Meters in a mile. As soon as
1600,
you were right.
Screw you.
1609.34. As soon as Star Trek.
Oh my god! I feel really good.
We'll be in the metric system. When's the metric switchover gonna happen? That's when I know Star Trek is close. Like we're close to that world. Once that happens. But yeah, send us a question, send us an email, or tweet at us at MTAcast if you want a shorter and more immediate answer. Of course, you can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/MTAcast. We're on there. We hang out.
Yeah.
We're cool, bros.
Peace out.
It's time for Flavor Text Theater Mad Libs Edition.
That's right. So I've put together several Mad Libs from cards.
I'm so excited.
And Maria doesn't, from the flavor text of various cards, and Maria doesn't get to know what they are while she fills out these Mad Libs.
Okay.
All right, so I need a noun.
Chicken feet.
I need another noun.
Pickle baby.
Another noun.
China.
A non-geographic location.
Oh. Radish farm.
And a geographic location.
Kansas.
Yep. All right. I need a person.
Jeb Bush.
I need a noun.
Pineapple.
I need a job.
Lonely mortician.
I need an adjective.
Crinkly.
I need a verb.
A verb. This is an action word. Pile shuffling.
I need a noun.
A burnt bundt cake.
I need another noun.
Last week tonight with John Oliver.
I need an adjective.
Like a security blanket. I don't know where these are coming from.
Okay, I need a person.
Oh, a person? Mark Rosewater.
All right.
Is this one?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this is a bunch.
Okay.
Okay, I need a noun.
A noun, a noun. Tickle torture.
I'm gonna use that as a
as verb. A verb. Okay.
Yeah, give me a noun.
An actual noun would be disgruntled teapot.
All right. I need an adjective.
Funky.
I need a person.
A person. Reed Duke's hair.
It's not a person.
Well, it's a persona at this point.
I would understand that getting weary.
I'm gonna beat that horse until it's dead.
I'm just saying, like, that's why, you know this, like, that's part of why I bleached my hair. Mm. Like, I felt like more other people were more invested in my hair than I was. I'm just saying.
I personally had invested $500 in your hair, and I crashed when you...
your stock market of my hair crashed.
Yeah.
Bad on you for insider trading on it.
Yeah, it was insider trading.
It really was. You have too much knowledge to be bidding on that shit.
Yeah.
Noun.
Tequila sunrise.
A city.
Detroit.
Another noun.
Seed rhino.
You're a monster.
I know.
A body part.
Wobbly bits.
A verb.
Shaft. As in to shaft someone. Like, I got shafted. You never really hear it in the past.
I need a noun.
Crippling self-doubt.
And I need another person.
Heidi Klum.
And I need another noun.
Oh my god.
Last one.
IKEA.
I didn't take seed rhino.
What did you put in there?
I just made you give me another one.
Oh, you jerk.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
We're starting with drag under.
Okay.
Some took to their chicken feet to escape the unfolding pickle baby.
The unfolding pickle baby.
The remains of their china now litter the radish farms of Kansas.
Wow, that one actually makes sense. They took to their weapons. Say it again.
Okay, some took to their chicken feet to escape the unfolding pickle baby.
All I need.
The remains of their china now litter the radish farms of Kansas.
Unfolding pickle baby. Oh my god.
Jeb Bush does not grant pineapples. Burnt bundt cakes simply pile shuffle to his last week tonight.
That's grapple.
Grapple with the past. Jeb Bush does not grant pineapples. Steadfast Cathar.
Okay.
The most crinkly, lonely morticians will press forward in the face of like a security blanket odds. Mark Rosewater.
He's so wise.
So wise.
His blog and talk's really gone downhill.
It's really done some weird... He's gone weird places with it.
Yeah.
Bruna, the fading light.
Ooh, somebody gets this rare at the end of the month. Oh, no. She can't even read it, ladies and gentlemen. She can't even read it.
She now... Oh, God. Okay, get it together, Wolf. She now shafts only Heidi Klum's IKEAs. I'm just saying that she's shafting some IKEAs, and it's only Heidi Klum's.
Only Heidi Klum's IKEAs.
She now shafts only Heidi Klum's IKEAs. Stencia Banquet. We can't win a disgruntled teapot on a funky wobbly bits, can we? Read Duke's hair.
On a funky wobbly bits.
No, you certainly can't.
No, you cannot.
Dark Salvation. Countless tequila sunrises. Is that right? Tickle tortured through Detroit's crippling self-doubt.
Accurate!
And with them came the city's salvation.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry, yeah. Unfolding Pickle Baby is going to be my highlight.
Countless tequila sunrises, tickle tortured through Detroit's crippling self-doubt. And with them came the city's salvation.
Well, if you would like a chance to get the rare from this pack, Bruna, yes. The Fading Light Sweet card.
And also, you get all the others. You get the uncommon.
Yeah, we'll give
you
everything.
We'll give you everything.
Do what you will with them. Please sign up at patreon.com.
And also this uncracked pack. Yeah. Since we didn't crack it, we'll send you this uncracked pack of Eldritch Moon as well.
I'm even going to sign it right now.
On the outside?
Yeah.
That's problematic.
What are you going to do with it? Save the wrapper. Go to patreon.com/mtacast. Join us. Become a patron with as little as a dollar an episode to be entered in this awesome drawing. You'll not only get these unopened packs, but also the cards we opened for the entire month, plus some other sweet stuff, including Minnesota Wild Rice.
That's right.
Cannot guarantee that last one.
Get a hold of us at MTAcast on Twitter. If you've got something short, if you've got something long, send it to us. MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com. Pick up some of our sick swag, including t-shirts and playmats on our store at MagicTheAmaturing.com as well.
Yeah, we've got a lot of t-shirts left. Playmats we're getting low on, so yeah. Be sure to get your orders in now.
That's right.
And of course, the best way to help the show out is to tell your friends if you enjoy it. Tell your enemies if you hate it.
If you are listening, remember you can head over and watch it, as well as a suite of other wonderful videos on Tolarian Community College's YouTube channel.
So from Megan and Maria, I'm Maria, that's Megan, signing off. Enjoy your pickle
disgruntled babies.